clean the snow off and
all my meals were free, and they took.
We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, January 26th at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. We have a lot of chairs filled out there. I'd like to welcome everyone that is here. Thank you for coming. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held January 12th, 2022. Approve all claims through January 26, 2022 in the amount of $704,464.42. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve 2021 annual noxious weed report and have the chairman sign the report. Approve bank balances, pledged securities, and six-month board settlement reports for Gage County Fund ending December 31st, 2021. Approve specs and call for bids for rock and gravel for a period beginning March 10th, 2022 and ending March 9th, 2023. Bids will be opened February 23rd, 2022 at 9:15 a.m. Approve specs and call for bids on armor coat projects C34-1217, 1218, 1219, 1220, 1221, 1222, and 1223. Bids to be opened on February 23rd, 2022 at 9:30 a.m.
I would move to approve the consent agenda, please.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. This would be the time if you want to talk about the compression breaks. If you'd give us your name and address for the record, and then go ahead.
My name is Daryl Janda. I live at 5173 Highway 43 in Adams.
Go ahead, sir.
When I was in here last time, I was wondering if you're doing anything about this yet. I want to see something done about the engine braking coming down the hill. Like, I got woke up this morning at 6:51 by a truck driver and 7:03 by another one. And it just keeps going all the time. I was wondering when you're going to... I don't see any reason why there shouldn't be an engine braking sign in Gage County.
That's still... You're talking... Your place is north of 41 on 43.
Yeah.
That's still state highway. And we did talk about that some. If we start putting out signs in just random locations, then those are going to start popping up all over, and there's really no way to enforce that. So, I mean, as far as the county doing anything on the state highway, as of now, I mean, we don't have any plans to.
Well, there would be a special ordinance around the ethanol plant where you could put pop-up signs every place, what you're saying, basically. If you had a special ordinance just around the ethanol plant, that wouldn't, you know, be the same as somebody putting one up 10 miles down the road.
That's really true. I know the Village of Adams did put some in on the edges of town, and the ethanol plant's actually annexed into the Village of Adams. But where your house is, it's basically the same as anywhere out on the highway where there's a hill. You just happen to have a stop sign there. Mr. Dorn?
That one on the ethanol road was put up by an individual.
But it's non-enforceable, right?
Well, it's
not an actual sign. It was just the person put it up.
Yep.
I know...
it's illegal, I would think.
If it's on private property, it's legal to have. I asked about this. They can put up whatever they want on private property, but it's non-enforceable. So if you would put up a sign...
You're getting this is a discussion item.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is public comment. I'm sorry.
I mean, you might want to, if it's something the board wants to discuss with the individual, I'd suggest you put it on the agenda, because it sounds like it might be, and I know Beatrice has these same sign or similar signs coming into town, and I don't know if I've ever seen a ticket. Now, I've been behind a truck that's doing exactly what's prohibited by the sign, but... And I mean, it might be something that you want to check in with the department and see what they suggest, because I understand what he's saying.
And, Darrell, I'm sorry. I forgot in public comment we can't talk back and forth.
Down your next meeting. I'll take it up then.
Yes. I know we referred you to Mark this last time, and that's still state highway. I assume nothing's changed on there.
Mark, did you put in
the state? I talked to a gentleman about that. But the state has no law over prohibiting the use of engine compression brakes, so it's up to the county or city zoning laws to pass either an ordinance or resolution for that. Even though it's on a state highway, if we do pass a resolution, we couldn't enforce it, but we would have to pay for the sign and then give it to the state department, and they would put it up.
So it would be a non-enforceable law still.
Exactly.
Darrell, what we'll do is we'll put this on Monday morning committee meetings, not this next week, but the following week. I don't see anything coming from this, but we'll put it on there for discussion.
What date is that?
The
9th.
The 9th at what time?
The 7th.
I thought I haven't checked off.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
The 7th of February. Same time here?
We start here. Road and Bridge will be about 8 o'clock.
That's, yeah.
8 o'clock?
Yeah.
That's where he's
on the 7th of February.
All right.
We'll put it on for discussion, though, and that will, we really aren't supposed to be talking now, but we'll talk about it. I don't see anything coming from it, but
should be able to.
We will bring it up again. Gary?
Where that's at, that should be within the mile from the edge of Adams.
That's the zoning limit, but that's not their limit of rule other than zoning. So, like, they had one outside of Adams, and they had to move it to the edge of the city limits coming out on the blacktop.
They can go on the outside of the zoning limit?
I don't think they can do signage outside of corporate limit.
I'd check. I think you have to go through the department and just get approval for it.
Department of Roads.
Well, you know, and that, like I said, we just have to pass it either as a county.
But then it's not enforceable.
But it's not enforceable. If the city passes it and makes it an ordinance, then it's enforceable.
The village of Adams.
Correct.
Is Adams a city or a village?
Village.
Village of Adams. So we will bring that up on Monday again, the 9th, the 7th.
7th, all right.
Thank you, Darrell.
Thank you.
Anything else for public comment? All right. We'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights. Morning, Mr.
Good
Jones.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I did not have anything new to report. I brought up, we're still working on boardroom improvements with the live streaming and sound. So I did get a hold of Tim Keckley. He is coming down again on Friday. He apologized for not being able to come up with anything yet. He says just the unavailability of getting equipment now, and they're not even giving him a price at this time. They don't know what it's going to be. So that's really been a holdup for him to give a proposal. But he is coming down again. I told you it'd be on Thursday at 10. He changed it to Friday at 10. So I'll follow up with that and see if we can get something going on boardroom improvements. We've been on showing roofing to try and give us a proposal for the damage done by the windstorm also, and I know they're extremely busy also, but so we're just keep the bug in their ear to see if they can come up with a proposal for that so we can turn that into NIRMA. And that's about all I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Large ticket item. Beatrice Area Solid Waste Agency annual funding, $26,496. This is funding so the people in rural Gage County are able to use the dump. Gage County, transfer to Economic Development Fund, $129,646.86. Spectrometry, 2021 flight, $40,249.15. Road Department, Sapp Brothers, fuel, oil, grease, $24,350.35. Engage County Sheriff expenses, $32,413.77. City Beatrice quarterly 9/11 funding, $56,811.
Thank you, Mr. Jurgens.
Love your enthusiasm.
Human Resources, Employee Relations. We didn't really have anything for human resources. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Good morning.
Morning, Sheriff.
A couple recap on some things from Monday. February 23rd, we're going to have the long sentencing, and so we're going to beef up security again on it. We're going to ask that the employees, everybody use the east doors, second floor. We don't see us going more than about an hour or so at most, maybe two, but it should go pretty quick. We had our second meeting with Weimar Council a couple weeks ago. Bruce Lang was with me at the time as well. We kind of, again, talked to him and the pros and cons. They're in the process, I think, of putting a citizens committee together and kind of determining the direction they want to go. And so we'll see where that lands. They're going to try to have it on the agenda every time they have a council meeting so they keep the public informed on what's happening with that. And I shared with Gary, before the meeting started, I got my letter from the city is what they're planning to do with the range. They're going to do a flat charge, I think it was $600, if I remember correctly. And then they still have it, so you can't use it if you don't have a range officer with you, which is a killer for us anyway. We have three range officers, and then that means you can't go out and do your own practice on your own. So we're proceeding with a gentleman in the county that's putting together something for us on his own, and we'll be using that one and seeing how that works out. And then I mentioned Monday that I was working with an applicant for the jail. I have two positions, going to be three before too long. Put her on three steps, third step up on the contract there with the union, and turned it down. Wasn't enough for her. So, as I said before, we're going to have to be real inventive on finding ways to attract people and get them. It's that way everywhere that I talk to people. There's some places even doing lateral transfers from other agencies and eliminate all the testing, so to speak. But just so you know, that's a battle I'm facing. If I go down three, it's going to be it's already a problem. Two, three will be not a good situation at all for me. So.
Are they afraid of being in law enforcement, or they have business salary? What is it?
No, this is corrections, Denny. No, this one, she had 4 or 5 years experience in their agency. They just, they're the same problem, had enough people there to work on them all the time. She got burned out. She had contacts here, relatives here in town, so they said I'd come down here, but I couldn't even entice her with three steps up on start because she deserved it. She is well qualified, so... I don't know if money's the only thing, money, I think, in combination of that and just not wanting to work in that line of work anyway. So it's going to be very, very challenging this budget round, so I hope we're going to work something out. It's not looking real good right now, so.
Well, it's always a bouncing ball. We were at full staff, then now we're way down.
Way down. You just hopefully get somebody. We haven't had any applicants hardly at all yet, so. And she's facing the same thing. He was down a few officers for a while. He's still working on hiring, I think. So that's all the good news I have today.
Thanks, Sheriff.
All right, thanks.
We also are out of contract on our first wireless agreement for the Highway Department radios. I'm going to try to negotiate with them to see if we can't get an extended contract again. hopefully a reduced rate. So I'll let you know what we find out on that. With that, we'll take a break from committee reports. We have a timed event at 9 o'clock, a Veterans Honor, and I'll turn it over to Scott. And you can take it away.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Alvin, you want to come on up? We're going to honor Alvin today, veteran. Alvin Halls enlisted in the United States Air Force on January 7th, 1964. He was honorably discharged on January 5th, 1968. During that time, Alvin was awarded the National Defense Service Medal, the Vietnam Service Medal, the Air Force Good Conduct Medal, and he later served in the Nebraska Army National Guard from 73 to 74. Alvin has been an active member and past commander of the Beatrice American Legion Post 27, and he's an active member of the VFW Post 1077 in Beatrice, where he's held many positions. And with that, I'll go ahead and just turn it over to you, Alvin. You can go ahead and tell me some of your experience.
When I enlisted and took the oath, that was on my birthday in January when I was 19. But I went through the basic training. I went through tech school before I got stationed at K.I. Sawyer in Michigan, where it was all SAC with B-52s. And 2.5 years into my service, I got my orders for Vietnam, and I had to go back through a school because they were transferring me to TAC, which is a Tactical Air Command. I went to Phan Rang, Vietnam, and we had the F-100 Super Sabres and the F-4 Phantoms. I had a brief tour in the Philippines, came back to the United States to Shaw Air Force Base, and that's where I took my discharge. And I want to thank everybody for recognizing, because I sure wasn't recognized when I come back from Vietnam, I can tell you. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Alvin.
Hold on just a second, Alvin.
Of the county, I would like to give you this certificate of our appreciation and a small token of the day.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'll say too, Alvin, thank you very much. I spent many a year sitting behind him and his family at church growing up, and he's been active in the community here. It's wonderful. People going, fighting for our freedom, coming home, you know, being productive in the community. Thank you and your family very much. We really do appreciate it. And this is a great opportunity for all of us to say thank you.
You're absolutely wonderful representing our community, Alvin. We appreciate it very much. And we've been friends a long, long time. Bless you.
For a couple of years, anyway.
we'll go back to more mundane things, to committee reports. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Okay. We approved specs and called for bids for rock and gravel to be opened at 9:15 a.m. on February 23 of 22. Approved specs and called for bids for armor coating 7 roads on 7/23, February 23rd of 22 at 9:30 a.m. This year, we were not lucky enough to get any projects on the bridge match program, but we've been lucky in the past. Last East Mile of Picker Road still needs shouldering done. Van Kirk's poured the walls on the concrete box culvert west of Hidden Acres. Mark maybe could give us a report where they're at and kind of the schedule on that on getting completed.
And then Mark's looking at our annual township meeting in February, usually.
Van Kirk's finished pouring last Tuesday. They blanketed, heated it with a thaw heater, kept it warm, should be at least for 72 hours. With the weather the way it is, with the cold temps, they probably won't start backfilling till there's some warmer temps. They should start backfilling. Hopefully, I'm going to say next week with warmer weather, they'll backfill the walls, start regrading the channel, and then they got to put 1 foot of cover over the box, and then county forces will come in and finish out the road topping and then re-rock.
Excuse me. I mean, realistically, we could be looking March, hopefully.
With county forces finishing the road, yes, probably March,
April,
end of March.
Maybe,
yeah,
but I mean,
just depending on where
it's
going
to be
dirt.
Close to getting finished up, which is unusual because you never see most of the time work like that being done during winter time.
Yeah, it just whenever frost comes out and we can whatever we can get our dirt source from to finish the road top is when we'll get it done.
Any idea why we didn't get any of the bridge match projects this time? Did Mark Minnelli give any indicators? Or?
No, there were several counties that, like Saline County, did not get any either. And that superintendent is actually on the board. We had one package deal that was really close on the grading scale, but it just fell through by a couple points. So,
are they giving you an indication why these are falling through?
Nope.
Mr. Juergens?
Well, one reason I believe is, and I don't know what the allocation for funds are for all of Nebraska, but it isn't a lot. And at one time, in my memory, when this began, it was like $4 million. Correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody knows
that's
differently.
Right.
I believe this is the last year with it for it, too. So
okay.
They either need to do a new system or they're out of money.
So if you look at the whole scheme of things, you go across the state of Nebraska, $4 million doesn't go very far on most of the time larger projects.
We had several
Nebraska is so far ahead income-wise, as far as money is concerned, I would think that they would be able to make an exception to put into this fund because we've got, I don't know, $500 million or so sitting there that we didn't think we'd have, and we have.
I agree, Danny.
We maybe should talk to Myron about that.
So? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, anything else for Odin Bridge? Thank you, guys. Okay. You want to wait on that one, then?
She brings
we're going to hop over the extension update just for a second so that we can get some more copies over here. We'll go on to Kristen Jensen, Tourism Coordinator. She'll give us her quarterly report. Good morning, Kristen. Would you give us your name and address for the record?
My home address?
Well, I suppose your name at least and position.
Oh. Kristen Jensen, Tourism Coordinator.
Go ahead.
I have my quarterly report for y'all and also a grant application. So which one would you like?
Quarterly report.
Quarterly report for now.
Beautiful. Okay. So at the end of last year, there was a lot of exciting things going on. But to start, we had Trail of Treasures in October. That went really well. I believe we had around 22 people signed up. So that's pretty good, 22 different vendors. And that's that border-to-border flea market that comes through on 136. In addition to that, we started taking on a marketing role for that. So we've been having meetings with the Byway 136 committee and Trail of Treasures committee, doing some social media stuff with them, as well as working on furthering that event. Let's see. Southeast Nebraska Tourism Council, I've also started doing some marketing with them, and we send them all of our events and whatnot, so that stuff we've been prepping. They do social media, and they have a guide as well. Let's see. I did an overnight retreat with leadership at Rice Lodge in Odell, so I got to experience that, and so I've never actually been there before, so that was nice, and I'll be able to explain that to our visitors a little bit more. A big project that we worked on the end of last year was the website update for Visit Beatrice with Jeremy Vance. That took up a lot of time, but that was a really good project because I got to contact all of our tourism partners individually and update their information, and that is live, so that one's new. I think that's been the same website for at least 5 years, so it looks way nicer now, so if you get a chance to hop on there and look at it, it's really nice, very helpful. We've been continually updating the events calendar as well for that, and that kind of translates over to the Beatrice Chamber site as well. NIDA meetings, I don't think we've had very many. Those have kind of been canceled, but I've been attending the ones that have been up. I've done a few webinars with Visit Nebraska, Beatrice Sertoma Club, I joined that, so I've been active there. Faces Behind the Places is our feature that we do here in town on social media. So I've been meeting with tourism partners, and we've been highlighting them and spotlighting them on social media. I've been out to Countryside Event Center, which is a new event center, that side of town, which is really nice. Gage County Museum Historical Society, there's the new director over there, so I've gotten to meet with her. Yesterday's Lady, Community Players, and hosted National Historical Park, as well as Tourism Advisory Committee, second Tuesday of every month. Trail Revitalization Project with Leadership Beatrice, class of 16. I'm in that class this term, and we are hoping to put in bike repair stations along the trails here in Beatrice. I think we're putting around 7 or 8, depending on what funding we get. And so I did take a grant to Beatrice Plus, and we did receive $5,000 for that project. So that's a leadership project, but a project tourism is also kind of helping with. Guide distribution, as well as our little Visit Beatrice ones. We also got in new Visit Nebraska and Southeast guides, which were represented in both. So those have been out. Lodging tax spreadsheet update. I did get the one from you, and we've compared, and it looks all good. I think you had a few more on yours than we did, so I just got that all refreshed. Tear-off map revisions, those little orange 17 by 11 maps that are around town, those needed a few things added and taken off. So we've got all those sent in, and we'll be getting new maps, and we'll have those sent out to the hotels and what have you. Our welcome packets that everybody receives when they like turn on their utilities, they're like, they have the tourism information as well as some chamber info. We ordered new bags, and we've got some new supplies to go in those, so we'll be getting those out soon. Last December we had our holiday lighted parade, so that was our 7th one. That went really well. I believe we had over 20 entries, and that was just our regular drive-through parade. I was in my car. I watched from my car because I had COVID, but I heard that it went really well and smoothly, and there was a lot of people stopping by to see that. Holiday lighted cruise, we had 20 people signed up for that, and that was the map that people drove around to see the different Christmas lights. And then with that, we gave out the Paul Coffin Award, which we did a presentation with Beatrice Daily Sun, and they did an article on that. In addition to that, there was Fantasy of Trees at Indian Creek Mall. And then for social media marketing, last quarter we had 187 new likes on our social media Facebook page. So currently we're almost at about 1,600, which is pretty good. We've got a lot of good engagement on there. Our Instagram is a little slow. Haven't figured that market out yet for us, but we're still working on it. Other than that, so that is my report. It looks like we have a current balance of $81,486.81 in the Visitor Improvement Fund.
I'll say I just got off my last term on the Chamber Board. Kristen's been working since she got here, but as you can see from this list, I would say, and I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, last year and this year already, you really hit your stride. I mean, as you're looking at this stuff, I think you've really settled into that position. So I want to thank you for what a good job you're doing.
Thank you so much.
We saw that on the Chamber Board, where we get to see that stuff a little more firsthand, I guess. But
you've been very active, and we appreciate it very much.
You.
You're doing a really good job.
I greatly enjoy it. So,
any questions for Kristen on the quarterly report? If not, I'd ask for a motion to – oh, Mr. Lytle. I'd ask for a motion to place the report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn to place the quarterly report on file. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. And while we have you up there, do you want to move into our next discussion and item of approve or disapprove the visitor improvement grant.
Yes.
To the community players.
Yes, so we received a grant application from community players, and this is the Facility Revitalization and Restoration Campaign. And this is a project that they are working on in different phases, and it is a $200,000 project of updates that they're doing to the theater. They've finished phase one. They moved into this phase, which is $59,050 project, and they are requesting $15,000. This project is to update the lighting equipment that they use in the theater. They haven't updated it since 2000, and they still use floppy disks, so it's a little outdated. And they're estimating that it will be done July 2023 for the total project. Community players is one of those things that whenever we have visitors in town or we help with itineraries, they always brag about it. They love the theater, and they have thousands of people come every year. I believe that it had said in 19 they had 7,610, with 38% of those people being from out of town. And so bringing in those people from out of town is obviously our goal when it comes to tourism. And the committee was very in favor of this. There was five voted in favor with five present, and they were very excited to hear about this project.
And they really do attract a lot of people from out of Beatrice that come in, and we as a city really have a positive impact from community players.
It's not very common to have a community players theater or something of that sort in your community, so it is very special and unique to us here. They have full-time staff and everything, so it's really awesome.
We also have out-of-town, that's the right word, thespians, actors, actresses, that come in and participate in the shows.
They had said from around a 30-mile radius of people that come in just to act in the plays and whatnot.
If you go to their performances and just take a minute to introduce yourself to people around you, you'll find them from all over. It's really fantastic. It's great for our community.
And that was a unanimous vote from everyone that was there from the Tourism Board. Any discussion on this from the board?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Byers, to approve the visitor improvement grant to community players in the amount of $15,000. Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, Kristen.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kristen.
With that, we'll hop back to Carly Black, extension update and inter-local agreement.
Good morning, Carly Black, Nebraska Extension. I am the Engagement Zone Coordinator. It's good to see all your smiling faces this morning on a cold day. So Don had passed out kind of a packet of information. That one thing that the university is working on doing over the next 3 years is updating the interlocal agreement. That we know that Gage County especially has requested an updated interlocal agreement in the past. And we have been working with UNL Legal, and then Douglas Sarpy and Lancaster legal departments have been working on getting them drafted with updated language. And we have a draft copy that we are working on rolling out again over the next 3 years to counties across the state. So our goal is to have everybody on a 5-year cycle. So what's different about the past interlocal agreement and the current one, one of the big things is the past one was it was indefinite, where it was an annual renewal indefinitely. And then that's why your last one was updated in 1997, because it just never made it to the top of importance. So it is our hope that having it just be a, it's good for 5 years, and then it can have an automatic 5-year renewal where we'd come in and you can re-sign it again. But then after that 10 years, it would be looked at, made sure that any laws that had been changed in the legislature would be reflected in the new interlocal agreement. We have talked with the Extension Board about the changes as well, and it was kind of our hope to have some board members here present to talk with you and answer any questions, but they were unavailable with work commitments. We did kind of draft a letter of just some of the major changes we wanted you to be aware of, and really by major, I mean from the 1997 version to the current version that is proposed in your packet. And the revisions don't change how Extension has been functioning over the last 5-10 years. It really is just bringing that language up to date of what current Extension is and the future of Extension. But as I talked about the terms in renewal, it's going to, this new one says 5 years, and then you can renew it for another 5 years, and then it'll have to be re-looked at 10-year mark. We just wanted you to be aware of the financial contributions section, that it just says that the Extension Board reviews the budget with the staff, and they create this budget in alignment with the priorities of Extension, and that the board members are active participants in the process, that they are advocating for their communities, for the needs, what programs and issues and concerns are important in Gage County, and what we can bring to the county for Extension itself. Again, that's not a change. Extension boards have always been involved in the budgeting process. The language has just been clarified in this document. Another one is under that section. It just talks about a staffing plan. And so this is that the university has in the past with Paul Hay and his predecessors, where they were generalist extension educators, and that they would know, they would cover a wide array of topics. And now we have more focused educators where we have, you know, today we have Nicole who focuses on community environment, Tara who does food systems work, JC in the office that does youth development, and then you have Nathan Mueller, who is not in the office, but he's a crops and water, and he offices out one day a week, but then he answers questions. And they're going to be working on hiring a learning child and early childhood educator out of Saline County, which is going to have coverage here in Gage County. Hopefully in the coming weeks that person is being in place. So you see that the university has a statewide staffing plan, and we have been strategically locating people across the state to make sure that the priority needs are being met. And if you don't have somebody in your community, such as a crops and water educator, it's not that you don't get that service. It's just that they're a phone call away, they're a few miles down the road, and they still offer programming in the community here. Our ask today is, I don't know if you have not reviewed this, but for sure, Roger, you are welcome to look over the new agreement, see if there's any questions that you might have. I did try to highlight any changes that had occurred, that there were just a lot of additions that were added into the new language. And again, just bringing it up to speed with 2022 and beyond. And when you are ready, I mean, if you want, we can come back and have answer any particular questions, but if you're ready to approve it, or when you're ready to approve it, we can come in and I can get a document with the new date, with the date added, and Eric, what the university is proposing is to DocuSign, where you're welcome to sign it in pen if you'd like, but the university would love to DocuSign, where we would have your email address, Don's email address, and then they would send you the electronic copy. You would DocuSign it, and then the vice chancellor, I think, is the person that DocuSigns it, and then he will DocuSign it, and then everybody gets a copy of it once it's signed. That way it's not paper pen, collect it, have to get it to Lincoln, they have to sign it, have to bring back copies here. But if you'd like to sign it yourself in ink, that is fine. But the university would probably...
We probably want a hard copy like that anyway, but...
Yeah, no, yeah. And you would get a hard copy back.
One confusion we've had a lot of times, and Nicole tries really hard with this to go back and forth, does this spell out, and I mean, that would be something we'd want to try to incorporate into this, does this spell out what the county will pay for, what the state will pay for, whose responsibility is what?
Yes, yeah, so under the document, it has... on page 4 is the county responsibilities and the Nebraska Extension responsibilities. So it talks about, you know, if you're talking about like what they're paying for. That would be under 9D, and it talks about facilities, services, equipment to perform the programming objectives. And then a office, and then necessary assistance, support staff, or clerical is under F. And then when you talk about 10 is what Nebraska Extension is providing. And so really when you think about, and their provision is that extension educators. And then the professional development or things there. And you're welcome to read through those line items. I just want you to know that if you looked at the salaries, even just for the educators, it's almost $250,000 annually that the university is providing in just the resident educators in this county. That's not even counting the ones like Nathan who comes in and services this county, or the new learning or early childhood educator who will be coming in and servicing them. So it's really the university big thing is providing the staffing and funding there.
And don't take that as being ungrateful, because no. We really appreciate the programs that we do receive and the support that the entire area gets. There's always just the questions on, does Extension pay for 4-H? Questions like that. When we ask those questions, the answer is always just as confused as we are. So, that's something before we sign anything. It'd be really great to spell all those things out so that Nicole knows where she's at. When she calls me, I know where we're at, and vice versa, but we'll definitely review this and take a look. And
okay.
If we have any questions, does Roger get back to you?
Yes, or? Roger can contact me. You can contact Nicole as well.
Now, he's been looking at this for several minutes. Do you need any more time, Roger?
Yeah. Okay. You can take your time. Roger, my phone number is on that letter.
What's the old ones, 87?
And I will say, Eric, to address your concern about maybe adding some changes, I could see that as an addendum to this document, and maybe not too much change in the physical document itself, that the university is really trying to create a single document. But that doesn't mean that we can't have addendums or memorandums of agreement, that we have those with other counties as well for different things.
You'll have kind of a boilerplate form for all the counties, and then each, because we all act very differently talking
Correct.
To the different counties.
Yes.
But we have a lot more resource here than other counties also from Extension, so.
You do, yeah.
Any questions for Carly?
I take them all. I'll just tell you, I was in one county. I came in, and they said, they were like hounding me. They're like, this is just the university telling us exactly what we have to do. It's an unfounded like mandate and all this stuff. And then by the end, they're like, we're so sorry. We were really rude to you. So you guys gave it easy today.
We start off nice like that and then get mean later.
I know. But
you do a great job, Carla. You do fine.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate the Extension office.
Yeah, okay.
And well, I know Davey does a lot of work on your building out there.
He does. And I heard you guys are going to be having some hearings later on that in the coming weeks. But please contact me if you have any questions specifically for Roger or any board members, that I'm always open for phone calls and communication. Thank you.
Send me an email when you get a chance. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Carly.
You're welcome. It's
9:29 on the clock. We'll take approximately a 5-minute recess and reconvene at
9:35.
Thank you.
I had just been there. Of course, you don't.
We'll reconvene at 9:39 on the clock.
Later, they'll say.
And we'll move right
Dennis,
to Trevor Lee, Executive Director, to present our Engage Quarterly Report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Mm-hmm. My address.
But you try.
Name and position, at least.
Trevor Lee, Engage Executive Director. Within your packets, you had Engage's second report for the fiscal year 21-22. I'd like to touch on a few things in there and then answer any questions and take feedback. So I'm going to kind of break it up as we have with the strategic plan. On the BRE, we were able to hit our target of 30 business visits. That's the minimum requirement to be a certified community through the State of Nebraska's Certified Economic Development Community Program. what those are. If you're not familiar, it's a formal survey. It's a one-on-one sit-down with the business to really see how they're doing. What do they like about doing business in the community? What do they not like? We can take that information. We extrapolate it. We share that with our members, but not in a way that any business's answers or perspective is known that it's this business. And we incorporate that in anything we do, whether it's working with the city or the county or the villages, with the legislature on pushing for certain bills. So that's what that BRE program is. Our goal normally is 40, but in a year like we've had, 30 was pretty doable because there's a lot more protocols with some of these larger companies, especially on the talent attraction and people recruitment and retention side of things. You've heard me talk about the opportunity here. We have four of those videos live on our website. We have a new website. It's the same link, but it's been redesigned. I don't think the last one was probably about, like Kristen's, about 5 years. So we've been going through that and updating the content, but it's a whole new look, layout. We actually just got, we were named the number 3 best economic development website in the country for 2022. So we were excited about that. That's part of our work with Golden Shovel Agency. I think last time I spoke to you folks, it was right before Manufacturing Day, because that would have been in October. So we had 90 kids from 3 different schools in the area go through 4 manufacturers. We had to turn kids away because we just didn't have the busing capacity. So we're looking now at maybe doing one this spring and also looking at a faculty, instructors, school staff Manufacturing Day. So not just the kids, but teachers can kind of get into some of these facilities and see what manufacturing in 2022 really looks like. Maybe correct some perceptions there.
Are you working with the administrators of the school or school board members? Or
Administrators and then just the folks that are working maybe in the technical instruction classes, guidance counselors as well. So
probably a good thing just for information that you would make a time through the administration to do a presentation to the board, the school board, so they learn too.
Yeah, that would be good to get the
information. And they really want to know what you're doing and how they cooperate.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's a good idea. We are looking at with these videos. These videos are directed towards students, instructors, and parents. So we've tried to go beyond just our website and our social media. So we're working with a local firm to do some targeted marketing, so geocaching, geofencing. So if we've had a large event at a school where there's a lot, not just kids but parents, we could stencil out an area around that. And then if they get on Facebook or they're looking at Beatrice Daily Sun or NCN, they might see an ad for that video, go to our website and watch it. Also looking at doing some shorter videos with that same content during ball games and major events.
If we had our new multimedia stuff up, I'd play some of these videos right now. I mean, this, I'd encourage all of you to go to the Engage website. This is, when I saw some of this, it doesn't look like something from Gage County. It's, wait a second, I'm going to say that wrong. When I saw this, it didn't look like from a rural community.
Right.
It looks like a bigger area than, I mean, it's put together very well. I'm trying to think of how to say that.
It's done very well.
Yeah.
Well done.
They're good videos.
They're great videos. I mean, it exposes things really well. Instead of, years ago, it was someone going around and taking some pictures at an event. You expect that. This was on a much bigger scale, it looks like, and yeah. You guys have done a really good job on those.
Yeah, I like that we've done – initially it was just manufacturing, and that's all that's on there, but you've got your homegrown companies, you've got your global companies, and now we're kind of branching off into public works, linemen, hospital. We're just not just focusing on manufacturing. So on that talent attraction, too, you've heard me talk about the C4K. That's the Communities for Kids, the $30,000 grant over 3 years through Nebraska Children and Families Foundation. Really kicked that off probably in November, December. Our next step, we've got a core team of about 20 individuals, stakeholders representing businesses, employers, parents of young children, providers, both center and in-home. Our next step, we're meeting today, hopefully finalizing a community needs assessment related to the early child care, early childhood wellness and child care. Again, as a reminder, this is focusing on Beatrice and Southern Gage County. Demographically, that's what made sense for a larger area, more than just Beatrice. With that, we're also, Engage approved the contract this last week, putting together our work plan and our budget. So that's our next step, is getting that feedback from the community and all those stakeholders. On the recruitment side, in the last quarter, or just currently, we've got 6 active recruitment projects. covering multiple sectors, manufacturing, human services slash healthcare, and warehousing plus retail. Closed out a few in the last quarter that we're really excited about. Zephyr Towers, that building, I know it had a lot of delays, but that's nearly complete. We're happy to see that go up. Division Landscapes, you've probably seen the work going on over there with the former Earl May building. And then Project Warner was the code name for another project, not a recruitment project, but I will talk about that. So we did secure 80 acres in the Gage County Industrial Park in December. So we've got a purchase option, much like we have at Hickory Industrial Site. But for the 80 acres, that's immediately west of Precise Fabrication. And then north of, Eric, help me, what's that road? Is that?
Sargent.
That's Sargent. Thank you. So our next step there, we were approved for a grant through Nebraska Department of Environment and Energy for a Phase 1, Section 128 ESA, essentially just more due diligence, but it's a way for us to work with a firm that the state pays and not Engage or the city to do a Phase 1 out there. Also soliciting proposals for a rail feasibility study on that site because the city and BNSF's rail easement runs north. The spur comes off kind of by Akuma, runs north, runs by the former Zephyr lots, by Setzer's, by J&J Wire, keeps going north and stops at Sargent. So we want to make sure that can that be built out because we have some available sites south of Sargent, and can it safely cross Sargent Street and serve the 80 acres and really open up an entire new rail campus for the future. So that's kind of the next step on that project. That's a one-year option just like the Hickory site. The Hickory site, that has been renewed again for 2022. That was renewed in December. If you recall, we had a Nebraska Public Power District grant to support some due diligence, a master plan. The consulting firm we used did not could not meet their contract requirements, could not get the work done in time. We moved on to a new firm who just didn't have time to get all that work done, so we had to settle for less work. But the two things we got out of that was a desktop environmental review, which will help us after growing season if we want to do a sort of topo and really look at the wetland issues that could be out there, as well as two conceptual rail concepts for spurs that would serve that site, whether it's one user or two users. So we've got rail design out there that's already up to BNSF standards, and we could present that to a project that's looking at that site because of the rail. So that was a big win. Instead of realizing $15,000 in grant money, we only realized $4,000, but at least we got some work out of it, and we could go back to NPPD for the next round in March to do some of the stuff that couldn't get done by the other consultant.
And I'll say that was a piece of ground that the city had tried to purchase previously, and it was unattainable. So this was through engaged negotiation that this has come about. I mean, we're running out of room in the industrial park, mm-hmm. So which is a good thing, but this opens up another 80 acres right here in town.
Yeah. Yeah, the 80, that's really the last ground there, because to the east and north, you've got development. We've got the 40-plus acres that we have available. To the north, you've got airport, and you're going to run into some issues with height restrictions. To the west, you have floodplain, and to the south is developed. So this is really the last chunk that's available up there that's been targeted by not just Engage, but probably Gage County Economic Development and the City Fathers for years, and it just finally worked out that we were able to secure it at a very reasonable price.
And I'll say that was directly through some Engage board members, too, as well as yourself, talking that out. I mean, sometimes it takes the right person at the right time, and mm-hmm. things just fell into place this time.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly right.
I think it would be very good. The more we can get some publicity on this from our news media, so the people of Gage County know what we're doing and what we have planned. Because I have people ask me, says, what's going on out there? And, you know, we don't really have the information.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's
Scott.
Very important.
Do something about that for us?
I think he's talking to you guys.
Did you get that scooter?
So, no, I appreciate that feedback. And we're excited for the next steps out there to position it for future development. The only other thing I would add on the recruitment side is we did have a Department of Economic Development FAM tour, or familiarity tour, so we had 15 plus or minus staff, plus Senator Dorn, the mayor, and Tobias come to Beatrice for half a day. This is part of our Lincoln Area Development Partnership that we're members of, so these are field staff. There's a lot of turnover at DED at that level, so it's important for them to know who they're talking to when they send out RFPs, what sites, get boots on the ground to see what we are submitting, whether it's a site or building, and an opportunity for them to sit down and and meet with some of our stakeholders. So they came to town. We had breakfast with the senator. We got to tour Exmark. Toured Exmark. We did a driving tour. Looked at the Hickory Industrial Site, looked at the 80 acres and the other ground in the Gage County Industrial Park, and then we sent them on to Lincoln for the rest of the day. So,
and I presume you're communicating with Senator Dorn relative to these issues, so he knows what's going on?
Weekly, if not good. More often, yep. We're really fortunate to have the Government Affairs Committee that the Chamber does. So at a minimum, and he's really good at participating in that, whether it's in person or via Zoom. So we've got not many communities, development groups, have that kind of access to their elected official at the state level, so we are really fortunate to have
good.
That.
Well, I know Senator Dorn wants to be informed and wants to participate and help you.
He went on the Exmark tour with us, so he was pretty excited. And he was on the bus the whole day. So
good.
You have any questions for me or feedback?
Is there any plans at the old Dempster building?
That's in the city's hands at this point. I think I know you probably know as much as I do, but it's going through EPA now, and it's on the list. But is it 5 years from now or is it 15 years from now? I don't know. I don't think they know.
Are we hearing anything, Eric?
The mayor, we talked about this last week. He was really hoping to have that down by the time he left office, and that's not realistic now. But the last burglars that went in there and cut into the really nasty oil, they did get that cleaned up. They're assessing things and trying to clean up who owns what. But I know the city's been working very diligently on that. That's been a priority of the mayor. It's just out of his control how long it's going to take, but they are still working on it.
Okay, you can't see any work being done at all.
No, there's nothing visually, I wouldn't say. They are trying to negotiate deals between the different tax credit holders, I guess, and mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but trying to get ownership. But the biggest thing that they try to work around is the liability of what's in the ground or on the ground. We don't want to get into a predicament as the city where they have a huge bill for an environmental cleanup. He did say they are working, either they have or they're working on another brownfield grant to try to do remediation of the area. There's just so many pollutants there. Last year they asked for trees to be cut, and you could cut the trees but not disturb the ground. So I asked the question, if we come in with equipment with grousers, is that disturbing the ground? And the answer was yes. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about going in on foot and clearing everything. I mean, the costs just start adding to where it's not worth doing. But they're trying. They are trying. Any other projects that you can let us know about that are coming or vague for instances that we may start seeing?
We've seen some transition in the industrial park that we were involved with. So you've got J&J Wire was acquired by Kenny Manufacturing, so they're expanding operations in there.
And that's a company that came down from Lincoln and purchased Leroy's, Jansen, yep. Precise Fabrication, so that's a nice expansion.
Yep. We're still pushing the Storecraft site to some potential users. We have some challenges there as far as incentives because the user down there is going to be retail. There's no incentives for retail other than tax increment financing, and the challenge we've seen is that all the tax increment financing has basically been chewed up by cleaning up the site. That's where those funds have been directed, so it's market rate at this point. So that's another big elephant like Dempster's to by that time. So,
any other questions for Trevor? All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I would ask for a motion to put his quarterly report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution on special use permit 2021-4 for the placement of a commercial agricultural anhydrous ammonia site to be located in the northwest quarter of Section 2 in Adams Township. And
2-04.
for resolution number?
Resolution number 22-04. This is one we talked about 2 weeks ago. At the public hearing, we didn't have any opposition. The P&Z voted in favor of this unanimously.
22-04.
This will be on the northern part of Gage County. Goodness. Lisa, do you want to go over anything on this, or does the board have any questions? If not, we procedurally waited 2 weeks to vote on this. I'd ask for a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I'm sorry, Don, I don't understand this. Approve for the reasons stated on the record. Does he need to read?
No.
What they are? Okay, so we would be approving this for the reasons stated on the record. Is that correct, Mr. Juergens?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we have a motion by Juergens. Is there a second by Lytle? Or did we have a second?
It was Eddie Dorn.
Eddie Dorn, okay. Motion by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove appointing James Linners to Planning and Zoning Commission for a 3-year term.
Move to approve.
Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Any discussion on this? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. Dorn voting no or abstaining?
that way.
With Dorn abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove specs and call for bids on the Gage County Rural Broadband Projects Project. Bids due by Friday, March 4th, 2022 at 4 p.m. Proposals will be reviewed March 7th, 2022 and accepted or rejected, accept or reject or award on March 9th, 2022. Emily, you've really put this together. Do you want to go over the details on this?
Sure. So to start, we met with a representative from the Public Service Commission, the Rural Broadband Task Force, as well as a couple representatives from SEND. We worked through ways to utilize ARPA funds for broadband. The Public Service Commission had listed a few companies with their contacts that would possibly be interested in what we wanted to accomplish, so I reached out to those people. We did have one company get back to us saying that what we were thinking is doable. So SEND sent us a sample RFP and just adjusted some of the language to better fit what we wanted to do for our county, and that's what we have here today. We're going to have 2 weeks for publications, followed by 3 weeks for applicants to work on their proposals. So the written questions will be due Friday, February 25th, and then the responses by the applicants will be due March 4th. We'll hear their proposals during our committee meeting March 7th. We'll probably invite the representatives from SEND to come and help us because we'll have to go through the point system. And then make the decision on Wednesday during our regular meeting, March 9th. We'll be offering up to $4 million to one or multiple internet providers that will be willing to provide high-speed broadband services to as many premises as possible in unincorporated or rural areas of the county, focusing on those that are unserved or underserved, which is the majority of the county other than the southwest quarter. We need better broadband options. And I did put the map on page 9 showing all of the areas that are unserved or underserved, which is quite a bit of it. We're looking for a company willing to match our funds to cover a large part of the county within 2 years
with those ARPA funds, and also have that company commit to completing other projects using state or federal grant programs like LB 388 to cover the rest of the county within 4 years. We will show a preference for fiber over fixed wireless solutions, understanding that it is not always applicable or feasible in parts of the county due to rocky conditions. We will not own or operate the network, but it will be a one-time financial supporter to help defray the cost and provide better broadband services to our constituents. I really think these ARPA funds offer us a great opportunity to help improve local broadband services in our rural areas, especially with the other grant programs that are available, and I think we can make a real impact for our residents, and I am excited that we have this opportunity.
Any questions or comments on this? This would be potentially a big expenditure of money of the ARPA funds. It's written as up to $4 million. Emily and I also talked to the Public Service Commission. How this would work, you know, because all the different organizations have their territories, and how does this affect that? It doesn't, per se, other than in service funding later, but it can be done. They can work within these areas. This is really focusing on pushing broadband to the rural areas. And like I say, I use family as an example. I have a brother that's working out of Portland, but he lives here in town in Beatrice. So we're going to see more of that work from home. People that worked in office buildings in cities that now can come back maybe to the farm or to a more familiar location, but they need that high-speed internet. And love it or hate it, I know Terry's on the internet a lot, but this is becoming part of day-to-day life. And the more convenient, the more reliable, the more economical, and the more attainable it is in our area, it's going to be a big positive to us.
And I told last night, the way it is now, you just got to have patience.
Well, I was told by a company we would have a new system in one area 3 years ago, and it's not there yet. But it, like I say, it doesn't affect me or someone else maybe as much as it does a young person that we might get to go to college and come back here and work in our area. But it does. It's used in everything. The internet is part of our day-to-day lives, whether we want to admit it or not.
I have a neighbor she's a speech pathologist for a school out in western Nebraska because they can't get anybody there. And her husband farms here, so she can't move. But she's able to serve, I think, 55 kids that way.
And her husband can still be on the family farm.
Yep.
I mean, 10 years ago, you couldn't have done that.
And what are we looking at appropriately for cost on this?
Well, this would be ARPA funds. We're going to receive $4 million some dollars from ARPA. Depending on what's presented, this offers up to $4 million of ARPA dollars to go towards projects. The way this would work is we put out the RFP, companies present what they would like to do in detail, and then we'll get presentations from them.
It's an infrastructure builder.
And yeah, I kind of looked at it like, Danielle, remember this, when they were running phone lines out to people's places? I'm sorry, Denny. But no, I kind of look at it like that. You know, when there weren't phone lines everywhere, it had to be subsidized at that time to make it feasible. That's kind of what this is.
Okay.
But the way the timeline on this RFP works is we would have presentations given by the companies on March 7th, because I'm assuming when we get presentations in, we're going to need the company to explain what they're doing and give us a chance to ask questions before we grade these, basically rate them and decide what we want to do or what we don't want to do.
Does this? Go ahead.
Well, I just, Emily sent this to me Sunday night, so she's a little better than the extension office. but just a couple of things. when you have your contacts, I would list their emails versus their home address.
Okay.
I can do that. That's what you're saying. People don't snail mail anything anymore. And the other thing, sometimes you don't want a public record where you're...
I was just going off the example.
No, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying these are little things that I noted. And I know, again, not to be critical, but if you got the... These are supposed to be in on Friday, and there's a place that you said it should be sent to the clerk's office. Well, your clerk has always been the pivot for everything. So I say it shall be.
Where's the word shall?
It says it's on page 6 on the RFP submittal process. It just says that halfway through the paragraph says should be. I just shall.
Okay.
Because otherwise, it may be en route to you or to Eric, and it doesn't get in on time. And you do have a provision: if it isn't in on time, it will not be considered.
Correct.
So that's just a point. Which, the other thing I noted. You know, your usual thing is to get a presentation on a Wednesday and then think about it for a couple weeks before you actually vote. And keep in mind, this is a $4 million contract. We don't have too many $4 million contracts run through this board. So that, and I would strongly urge you, I know what IT means. That's as far as my knowledge goes on that. And I think a lot of people, not everybody here at the table, has that understanding. If the computer is turned on, it should work. You understand all this stuff. But I would seriously think about getting somebody with that kind of knowledge to help you review the RFPs.
I think it's
most of this contract goes into stuff that I don't even know where it's at on a computer.
I think that SEND, the representatives from SEND, would be more than happy to come.
I just think that'd be really beneficial for certainly, if you're looking at me, I'll skip that meeting.
You don't want to?
I would not be an asset at that meeting. But those are just a couple of things that I noted on here. I think you did the right idea. Go get a copy of a contract that people are using. Again, because this is very important stuff that you're talking about, servicing your rural area, which typically this board, that's what they're viewed as. We definitely want to make a good choice on this. This board needs to make a good choice so that we don't have a problem in a couple of years going, oh, crap, we're not going to get that. So that's just my two bits.
You had planned on SEND coming to help review, correct?
Yep.
I wonder if we should get a local computer expert also, just that we might happen to have, that would be willing to help us to look over him also, just in case he sees something.
Are you talking about Terry?
No, it was not about Supervisor Terry.
I assume there's a lot of counties and municipalities that are getting this kind of help. Like you said, that SEND person would be at least that.
They got two of them. I think it's Oliver and
Michael.
Those are the two guys that came up and talked to us?
Okay. And Oliver's helped through this whole thing. Okay. He's the one that sent me the information.
And that's their only job with SEND right now.
Yeah.
And if they get into something that they're not sure of, I'm sure they have contact.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure that they would come. I can give them a heads up.
Thank you, Roger.
Does fiber have to run in the greater ditch?
Not always.
No, it can run other places if they have agreements with the landowners. That would be up to – that's something that we'll stay out of, though, where the company putting in the fiber could make
that
decision.
Most of the time they do that, Eddie, because there's already easements there, so they can piggyback onto those easements and not have to go out and negotiate separate easements. Once in a while, though, they have to go because
– Well, I'm wondering about the rocky areas.
Yeah.
If they can move someplace else, you know, where it isn't as rocky,
it would be all up to the independent company to say, hey, this is our plan. Further south you go, the rockier we probably get, especially the southeast corner of the county. And they'll probably have different ideas in those areas to try to hit as many people as possible. It may not be fiber to the house on everyone. It may be fixed wireless. It may be something else that we don't even know what it is yet. I mean, there's new technology every day, so.
I just know where I've seen it ran, it is in the greater ditch as far as that goes.
And some of it's hung also. There's hanging fiber also.
But we leave the, you know, the options completely up to the company on when they present it to us, what they think is the best way to service all the areas.
As technologically advanced as we are, it's probably best to leave it to the experts.
Mr. Dirksen from Diode Cable is in the audience. If he'd like to make any comment.
Come up and comment.
Legal? No?
Well, if he'll be I assume he'll be bidding on it, so maybe not at this point.
All right.
Any comments from the board or questions on this broadband proposal?
Since there's a couple changes, just changing the addresses to emails and the should to shall, can that still be, can I just make that change and sure. And continue on?
Yeah, we haven't. We haven't proposed anything. So
with those changes in here, changing our addresses to emails and the should to shall, I'd like to approve this call for bids. Is that the right way to do that?
Could we make one more addition on your motion, if it'd be all right, add the clerk's contact information for questions also?
It is in there. For questions, it's sent to the clerk. The email is sent to the clerk and carbon copied to you and I.
Oh.
On page 6.
I'm on the wrong page, though.
Summary
page. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Because the idea behind that is any questions and following corresponding responses would be sent back to everybody that wants to apply.
And I interrupted you. Did you get your second change in?
Yeah, I did. It's should to shall, and then addresses to emails. And then the motion to approve the call for bid.
Those are on page 6. And the should to shall is
on
page 6.
Should to shall on page 6 as well. It's in the first paragraph.
Three.
Emily, do you have any specs in there as far as crossing roads? Or?
It all has to comply with our zoning regulations. Right-of-ways. That's on page.
When are these funds available?
Part of them are already deposited. The next will be deposited
this calendar year. Yeah, we don't know.
This calendar year.
Yeah.
So
half
of it's here.
And we don't pay it out all at once. Part of this is that there'll be agreed upon milestones and dollar figures to be paid out during as progress is made.
What I've seen so far, they bore underneath.
See, construction's on page 10, section 4.3. Deployment must comply with all contractor codes. They must contact, you have to talk to planning and zoning, surveyed. Here it is. They must obtain all required permits and private easement approvals. It's all, I think this sample is pretty thorough with all that.
I thought it was interesting. They start talking to you have to have surveys.
Yeah.
That GIS.
For samples, yeah.
It's
a tough candy.
What do you kill?
Trying to break this candy.
But that's all laid out in there in that section 4.3.
So it would be different in each different instance. You know, it'd have to go through the permitting process with Mark as far as crossing roads, use of right-of-ways, but we would treat it like any other project. Yeah, no kidding. We have a motion by Haxby, second by Juergens, to approve the Gage County Rural Broadband Project RFP request with the aforementioned changes. Any other discussion on this? Like I say, this is something we've been talking about, I guess, but it's a big big undertaking. If things go well, this could be a great project. If we don't get any responses or they aren't what we want, then we go a different direction. These are ARPA funds, not tax dollars that Gage County has collected, and these are not funds that would be used for settlement payback either. So
they're still tax dollars.
They are tax dollars. They're not tax dollars that were collected, local property tax dollars. They're still tax dollars, and unfortunately it's probably borrowed money, but these are dollars that are being put to the county from to the brought into the county by the feds. So any additional discussion? With that, I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks, Sam.
Now we'll look forward to seeing what we actually get. Hopefully it's something good. Up next, approve or disapprove 2022 board committee appointments.
Approve to approve.
I would ask, we have a motion by Lytle. I would ask to make one more change. Under Region 5 services, I would ask to change that from Senator Byers to Supervisor Haxby for Region 5 services. Region 5 systems would remain with Byers.
The systems?
Systems would remain with Byers.
Stays with me. Services goes to Emily. Okay.
Region 5 systems. Region 5 services, okay. Change that to Ms. Haxby.
I'll allow that.
Systems. Denny's systems. Yeah.
That's on Region 5 services and systems.
And you all have a updated copy in front of you, I believe, other than that last change. Jurgen seconded? Any questions or comments on board appointments? Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Discuss and approve or disapprove 2022 Board of Supervisors standing rules. I was absent Monday. I think this is a second meeting I've missed since I was on the board. I hate being gone from those, but these rules, standing rules, they seem mundane, I know. We review these each year. Mr. Bauman used to have a tweak here or there. Does anyone want to make any changes to our standing rules? I think we may. We have a pretty lax meeting where we all can talk, and I really like that. I point out Rule 5. We might start referring more to that, where we address the chair before we talk. Sometimes, if it's a casual conversation, it's a little easier, but sometimes it doesn't hurt just to break things up a little bit, so we don't have two on top of each other.
Changes here.
To?
Because the standing rules were, it incorporates the committees.
And oh.
So we're going to have some changes there, what we updated.
Okay.
So that'll follow along with the.
Are there any changes that anyone would like to make to any of the standing rules?
Are we changing the time, start time?
I'd rather not.
The board meeting?
The committee meeting.
Oh.
We kind of had a majority that wanted to keep it the same last time.
There was a majority?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We really didn't vote on it.
No, we didn't vote. Just asking around the table.
Remember, nobody has to show up. It's committee meeting of the whole, so you don't have to be here at 7 o'clock when it starts.
We strongly encourage everyone to be here, but...
But that's where the discussion is, too.
I think those committee meet, that time on those committee meetings should be changed from 7 to 8 o'clock.
And that was one of the changes right there.
Now would be the time to do it. I don't know if it's on the...
Is it in the standing
rules?
It's not in the standing rules.
No.
That's what I was wondering. Just because I get my kid off.
Same as this meeting.
I guess we don't need to do it at this time, but... If there's no changes to the rules, I would ask for a motion to approve the standing rules with the updated board committee appointments.
So move.
Didn't matter to me.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Any additional discussion on standing rules? Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? Bad of the order? Information of the order? If not, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn at 10:21 on the clock. Oh, we don't have a motion.
I move to adjourn.
Moved by Byers.
Question.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
He's 10 minutes early.
Yeah, we're way early.
We don't have a second. Have a motion by Byers. Motion by Byers. Is there a second?
Mr. Sheriff. Yes.
No second?
Sure.
Oh. Second by Lytle.
Because there's no guarantee that even...
Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 5 in favor.
Well, you're going to have...
We are adjourned.
That's right. You're not going to include a project that you're already working on.
Well, we made it through, Lytle.
Thanks for coming, Lauren.